Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of the Just the Freedom Show. I am your host, Push Nevada, coming to you live from downtown Detroit. Very good weather today. Sun is shining. Today's guest is Mr. Steve Anderson of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Mr. Anderson is an actor, storyteller, voiceover professional, and a historian of sorts. And he's here to talk about the Civil War in the Gettysburg Black community. Mr. Anderson, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about your work and the Civil War Trials Program.
Sure. I've been doing a lot of work in the Civil War for a number of years now. I recently led my 800th walking tour in Gettysburg. I feel tired just saying that. And I'm also entering my fifth year as a living history interpreter, working with the Civil War Trails program here in Pennsylvania, visiting communities throughout central Pennsylvania where some of the lesser known and lesser told stories of the Civil War happened. And between leading tours and visiting schools and doing the living history work, The question that I get asked most often, and usually in a more sophisticated form than I'm going to say it here, but the question I get most often more or less comes down to, what do these guys in blue and gray fighting out in a field have to do with me? So whatever context I'm in, that's what I'm setting out to do, is to explain what this has to do with me, with us, with the group that I'm talking about. So what were the women doing? What were the African Americans doing? What were old people doing? What were business people doing who suddenly had their community turning into a battleground around them?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's back up for a minute. I want to talk just a little bit about your acting career and how you got into that and voiceover work.
Okay. Well, ironically, I got into acting professionally because I desperately did not want to be on stage.
Why? Hold on, that's interesting. Why?
Back when I was in, I guess it would have been junior high, I'd been in the school chorus for a number of years, and one year they decided, we're going to do a musical this year, and they told us, that if you're not casting in one of the major roles, you're still going to be singing and dancing on stage. And, you know, I'm a junior high school student being told that. I was absolutely terrified.
Okay.
And turned out that what they actually meant was, if you want to be on stage, that's fine. If you don't, you know, we'll have backup singers, you know, who are not on stage. So it would have been fine.
Okay.
But my terror led me to say, okay, what's my alternative? And so I ended up doing backstage work, running lights and sound and such. And that kept me around theater long enough to fall head over heels in love with it. So.
Great. Well, look, before we get into the matter of the Civil War, the Gettysburg Black community, give us just our listeners a little background on the events leading up to the Civil War. What was going on the historical table?
Well, sure. The more I study the more I realize that it really wasn't very different than today. Today we've got our red states and our blue states. Then you have your blue states and your gray states, but sectional differences, a lot of arguing about economics, a lot of arguing about slavery. We could spend all month talking about what caused the Civil War, but the bottom line was that the southern states had been threatening for a number of decades, actually, to secede, and they finally made that decision. And the North decided, we're not going to just sit here and let you break the country in half. Hence,
the Civil War.
The beginning of a war that everybody expected would be, well, again, not so far different from today. Everybody expected shock and awe, and it'll be over in 6 weeks. And it wasn't. So
where is Gettysburg, and why is it important?
Interesting question. Gettysburg is in south-central Pennsylvania, just barely across the state line from Maryland. I say it's an interesting question because there was a survey that was done a few years ago by some heritage tourism professionals that found, I believe the number was that 10% of this huge cross-section of the population that they talked to, a full 10% said both, I've never been to Pennsylvania, and I have visited Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
The people who have been there don't know where it is.
Okay.
But it is in Pennsylvania, in Adams County, just across the state line. On the other side of the state line would be places like Frederick. It's about 35 miles southwest of where I live, up in the state capital in Harrisburg.
Okay, so what got you interested in the history of Gettysburg?
Well, in addition to loving to perform, I also used to be a college English professor. The classroom context wasn't really where I was thriving. And then one night I was chatting with a friend who was also an actress and also a teacher, who explained some of the work that she was doing in Gettysburg, leading tours and doing public storytelling, and how it allowed her to teach people who actually chose to be there, which is a wonderful thing, and to teach by performing and by entertaining. And that led me to something that I discovered that I really love doing.
Okay. So now let's get to the Gettysburg, the Black community. What about the Gettysburg Black community?
Okay. Well, before we even get to the Black community per se, just want to clarify two things I haven't mentioned. Because sometimes if I tell people I'd like to tell them about African Americans in Gettysburg, the first response I get is, there were no Black soldiers in the Battle of Gettysburg. Well, okay. Fact number one, by the end of the Civil War, 180,000 Black men served in uniform with the United States Colored Troops, 30,000 more with the Navy and the local militias. Now, it is true that those particular units didn't happen to be serving in the community of Gettysburg during the first three days of July of 1863. But, first of all, they're very important to remember. And secondly, that doesn't mean that there weren't black men who fought in the Gettysburg campaign. So before the action got to Gettysburg itself, you get the idea sometimes from some of the history books and especially from the movies that the Confederates come up into Pennsylvania and everybody heads straight for Gettysburg. It's not true. They spent a good 2 weeks raiding communities throughout central Pennsylvania. And a few days before the battle in Gettysburg, about 30 miles to the east, and there's a little town called Wrightsville that was famous at the time for the Wrightsville-Columbia Bridge, which was the longest covered bridge in America. So the Confederates, on the 26th of June of 1863, they arrive in Wrightsville. Their objective is to cross that bridge. If they can, they're going to have clear sailing to take Lancaster, take Philadelphia, head south and attack the state capital at Harrisburg. And there are a few Union forces that are there to defend the town. They need some help. And so some black volunteers from the area volunteer to help. They help to build the fortifications. They take up arms and help the Union soldiers to try and defend the town. They're horribly outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. The Union forces decide, all right, we're going to retreat across the bridge, and we'll wire some explosives and blow up a small span of the bridge so we can stop the Confederates from crossing but still leave the bridge mostly intact so the locals can repair it afterwards and not be completely cut off. And the records at the time say that it was one of those black volunteers who actually lit the fuse to set off the explosives to try and stop the Confederates. The fuse was perfectly fine. The explosives didn't really do their job. So needed a backup plan, and a group of civilians, including at least one African-American, made the decision, you know what, we're going to light this bridge on fire, make sure the Confederates can't cross it. It didn't work out quite like they planned. The fire spread to the town. But if not for the black volunteers who dug the fortifications, if not for the black volunteers who helped to defend Wrightsville, if not for the black civilian who helped to make the decision to sacrifice the bridge, the Confederates could easily have crossed over into Lancaster County, and there really wasn't anybody there who could have stopped them from continuing on to Philadelphia or on down to Harrisburg.
You're saying black civilians and black volunteers, were any of these black soldiers slaves?
Well, not in Pennsylvania. I mean, some, I'm sure, earlier in their lives had been. And there were certainly...
What was their interest in fighting in the war?
Well, the same as in that particular case, the same as anybody else living in that area, to defend their community, to defend their homes. And there was also the potential, yes, you're a civilian. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be captured, and who knows what's going to happen to you if you are. There had been at least rumors going around about the Confederates capturing free black citizens, and they'd never be heard from again. So they had plenty of incentive to want to save their communities from that sort of thing as well. But mostly just like anybody else, trying to stop the army that was coming to do who knew what to their home.
Okay. So did Lincoln's speech help to put Gettysburg on the map?
Well, he certainly helped. there was a great deal of difference of opinion on exactly how good that the Gettysburg Address was. The Republican papers tended to say that it was great and profound and beautiful and moving, and the Democratic papers tended to say, it was a piece of fluff. Some of the Southern papers actually printed the next, not the very next day, but printed afterwards, the speech that Lincoln gave at Gettysburg, and what they printed was not actually the Gettysburg Address. What they printed was this little nothing that he had given the night before when he came out to a crowd and said, I really have nothing to say, I'll see you tomorrow. That's what some of the Southern papers printed as what Lincoln said in Gettysburg. So in hindsight, the Gettysburg Address made a profound difference. At the time, opinions were somewhat divided.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what role does Thaddeus Stevens play in the scheme of this?
Well, we were talking about the Gettysburg campaign and making our way toward the town of Gettysburg, and there are some other people to tell you about there as well. But Thaddeus Stevens is a man who's near and dear to my heart. I mentioned my work with Living History. Specifically, I've been researching and portraying Mr. Stevens for the last 4 years or so. He was an attorney in Gettysburg for 25 years, 25 more in Lancaster. State representative in the 1830s, helped to save public education in Pennsylvania, which was in very serious danger of being repealed. And by the time of the Civil War, he's a leading member of Congress. When the Civil War is winding down, and then afterwards, he writes the first draft of the 13th Amendment, officially ending slavery as a matter of law. He serves on the committee that writes the 14th Amendment, declaring equality under the law. He's pushing for the 15th Amendment, the right to vote, when his life comes to an end. So he's a pretty amazing guy, and his career starts right there in Gettysburg, which some people will tell you has little to no connection to African American history other than the war itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty interesting. You know, Thaddeus Stevens, of course, was an abolitionist. So when you're doing these types of tours, what kind of people come to these kind of tours? Are they students? Are they people in general? And what kind of interest do they take in the tour, the learning of Gettysburg?
Well, I've worked for several different tour companies, so I get different kinds of audiences. I routinely do tours for school groups. Routinely do tours for grown-ups. On a fairly regular basis, I'm visiting everything from schools to senior centers and talking to all kinds of different sorts of audiences. Most of the time, if you can find the stories that connect with what were people like me doing then, and it's not just about people who went out of their way to volunteer to be soldiers, it's the people who are caught in the middle. You started off asking me about the African-American community in Gettysburg, and I got off on a tangent about Wrightsville, but let me give you an example here. Pretty much everybody has heard of Pickett's Charge. They may not know much about it, but they've heard of Pickett's Charge, the grand centerpiece of the Battle of Gettysburg. 12,000 Confederates lining up in the trees and marching out across this open field, a line of them more than a mile wide. They're marching out across this field. The park rangers say it takes 12 minutes to walk that field. It takes me about 20. I'm okay. Obviously not in quite as good shape as they are. They're marching out across this field under fierce artillery fire. they have to stop and climb over a fence in the middle. They're continuing on across across a road and up a hill under cannon fire and then rifle fire, and it ends up at this low stone wall up underneath the copse of trees. It's a bit of American history that's painted in very, very vivid blue and gray. And what I find absolutely fascinating is that if you look, it's also a piece of American history that's very much black, because this is not just a field that happens to be in a national park. The fence that they had to climb over in the middle, the reason there was a fence there was that this field was actually four farms, one of which, and not just any one of which, but the one that was the focal point of Pickett's charge, was a farm owned by a man named Abraham Bryan, just an everyday, ordinary, small-town farmer, but an African-American small-town farmer. People call Pickett's charge the high watermark of the Confederacy. It's a turning point in a battle, which becomes a turning point in a war, which, among other things, decided whether a black man could be owned as property. And here it is happening on property that's owned by a black man. I find that fascinating. One of those beautiful little ironies. And not only that, I mean, you look a little bit closer, you find out that in the 1830s, 1840s, Abraham Bryan rented out a house on his land to a woman named Margaret Palm, Maggie Bluecoat, to her friends, because she wore a blue coat, specifically an old army coat from the War of 1812. And what's interesting about her is that she was involved with the Underground Railroad, helping fugitives to make their way from slavery, make their way up to freedom in the North, right along that very same road that Pickett's charge cuts across.
Okay.
So not only does the higher watermark of the Confederacy happen on black-owned land, it happens on right smack dab on top of one of the arteries of the Underground Railroad.
Okay. You know, given the context, of course, the racial context of that time, one would wonder what would make a black man want to go and fight. Was it an economic matter, protecting his property, perhaps, as he was a free man? Or was his reason closely associated to some notion of manhood and masculinity? What types of black soldiers would decide to go and engage the war?
Well, now, as you might imagine, as with anybody, if you ask why would you enlist, the answer is going to differ from one person to another. I was recently reading a wonderful book. Of course, I'm going to blank on the title. That was culling the relevant bits out of thousands of letters that the soldiers wrote home, explaining why they had gone to fight. So I don't want to generalize, but there were, as you say, there were people, if they were choosing to go and enlist, for instance, to fight in the United States Colored Troops, sometimes they were going to protect their home. Sometimes they were going because they believed in the Union cause. Sometimes they were going because they had family or friends down south who they wanted to help, wanted to free. I would suspect that there are ultimately as many reasons as there were volunteers. Now, in some cases, some of those black units were also recruiting in the South. They'd come into a community and they'd free the people who were being held in slavery there, and offer them the opportunity to take up arms and to join the fight. There is a we were talking about Thaddeus Stevens earlier. There's a wonderful quote that he had in early 1862. He's talking in Congress. Because early on in the war, sometimes when when the Union Army arrived in the community, some of the people who were being held as slaves in these communities in the South would rush to the Union line expecting to be freed. And in some cases they were, and in some cases the Union officers sent them right back again. And Thaddeus Stevens was speaking in Congress saying that that seemed completely wrong to him, that it was as if we were marching into the South with a rifle in one hand and shackles in the other, and this made no sense to him. And instead, he said that we should head down with a rifle in one hand and the Book of Freedom in the other. Which is interesting, because a year later, there's a letter that a Union officer writes home about his unit that's serving down in the South, and they've freed some men from slavery and taken them on as recruits. And he writes home describing these men, that he sees them there at the barricades with a rifle in one hand and a spelling book in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Just the concept of these men who were just recently being held in slavery, and now not only have they joined the fight, but they're also working on their own education. And that just, I makes the full shivers go down my spine. I love that.
Yeah. Now, William Steele was a post sutler for the Army. What is a post sutler? I've never heard of that before.
Well, I can tell you about sutlers. I'm not sure exactly what the phrase post sutler would mean, but sutlers were basically merchants who supplied the stuff that soldiers needed. Some things you'd be supplied with, but you know, if you wanted to buy some coffee, if you wanted to buy some playing cards, if you wanted to get an extra pair of socks besides what you were issued, a settler or a vizandier, sometimes they were called. So basically a merchant who sold stuff to the soldiers.
A merchant, opposed to probably a store merchant, perhaps.
Well, I wouldn't want to say a store merchant, because they, from what I understand, they usually would travel along with the soldiers as opposed to being in a particular location. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay. You mentioned that you were an educator,
mm-hmm.
in the public school system, I presume. What's going on? Are kids getting this kind of lesson in school? Are teachers teaching students about the Gettysburg address and the Gettysburg reality?
Okay. I used to be a classroom educator, but I was not in the public schools. I was an adjunct professor at Gettysburg College for a while. So I kind of look at the public schools from the outside, like many people do. I can't speak from the inside. I do know that, and I'm delighted to see that that year after year, a lot of schools from all over the place are interested enough to mount field trips to come to places like Gettysburg to get their kids the opportunity to see and to touch some of these places and have people like me come along and share some of the stories with them. How much of that they're getting in the classroom, I really, really couldn't say.
Okay, well, what's next for Stephen Anderson? What do you have on your horizon?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm always keeping myself busy. I visit schools and theaters and special events throughout Pennsylvania and sometimes beyond, doing storytelling about various aspects of the Civil War, doing one-man shows. I was down in Atlanta back in October doing a performance about Edgar Allan Poe. And I'm also continuing to trek along with voiceover and audiobooks, and just recently started getting into video work as well. You can check for updates on my website, which is greattaleslive.com.
Mm-hmm. One more question about the black community in Gettysburg. Are there any black monuments at Gettysburg commemorating the black history, the black soldiers?
Not as many as there should be. Okay. And again, there weren't black soldiers per se fighting in the town of Gettysburg, but the state has been doing a good bit of work over the past year, especially finding and restoring and preserving some of the cemeteries, especially throughout the state, where
mm-hmm. any
where soldiers who I'm sorry?
Any museums?
No, they've actually been going out and restoring the actual cemeteries where many of the black soldiers who did fight in the Civil War are buried throughout the state, and telling some of their stories and making sure that those sites are properly taken care of, which is certainly a step in the right direction.
Yep.
And in many cases, it's not even necessarily a question of needing to build a new monument. There's been some talk about establishing an African American museum in Gettysburg. I'm not connected with that, so I can't give you any details. But in many cases, it's just a question of recognizing the stories around things that are already there. I mentioned Abraham Bryan, who owned part of the field where Pickett's Charge happened. His house a reconstruction of his house is still there. It's marked primarily according to the general that used it as a headquarters. So it's not necessarily that you have to build things that are entirely new. Just a question of getting the stories out there so that people recognize, hey, I have a connection to that site or that person or that place as well.
Sure, sure. Well, Mr. Stephen, it's been great having you. We are out of time. If you could give us that website and then any contact information you might have, now
sure.
is the time.
Sure. Again, you can check me out online at greattaleslive.com.
Mm-hmm. What about any, are there any kind of books about Abraham Bryant that people may be able to get in contact with?
I'm not aware of any books on Abraham Bryan himself, but there is a wonderful, wonderful book called The Colors of Courage that's about African Americans and also about some of the women in Gettysburg, some of the stories that aren't told quite as much as perhaps they could be.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us. I want to mention, too, that Leslie Gist, who is the producer of the show, will be having a book signing at Bordentown, New Jersey, on Saturday, February the 5th. You can contact Donna at 856-341-4881 for more information.